This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Labor Day, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us. As always, remember, 24/7, we haven't changed anything. You can always get a hold of me through the miracle of the mailbag, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. I just thought I'd throw that in right at the top. 9/11 is coming up, and in the last hour I talked about it being on my mind. I was in New York when it happened. My family lived in New Jersey. It was a huge break for me in broadcasting. I was excited. It was a great summer. And it was one of the most horrible things that ever happened in my life. And I knew some people that were in the building. They got out. Just a handful. There was three people I knew. And one of the World Trade Centers, because, of course, two of the buildings went down. But my recollections of what happened in 9/11. It was tough. It was tough to come home and even talk to anyone after I was on the air, because it was so sad to hear the stories, and you felt so frustrated, and you wanted to help. And of course, we all helped, but you could only do, you know, there's only so much you can do comforting, because people have to walk through that. President Biden is going to visit all three 9/11 memorial sites to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks and pay respects to the 3,000 people that were killed that day. So he's going to go to Ground Zero in New York City, the Pentagon, and the memorial outside Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where United Flight 93 was forced down, and the First Lady's going to go too as well. And I mean, of course, all the presidents have done that, and this is a significant mark because it's 20 years. It's crazy that it's been 20 years. There were babies that were born after that that never saw their fathers. There were stories. There were so many stories. Loss of women and men and uncles and brothers and sons and daughters. And I mean, we get it. You look at the family trees, and then there was the 6 degrees of separation stories, and then there was the stories of the people that for some freaky reason they didn't make it to work on time that day, or people that went in early. And there are a lot of thoughts I have about 9/11. As we get closer, I'll talk about them more. But it is Labor Day, and I hope that you get to do whatever you want to do with friends or family, or have some time to just kind of kick back and, you know, down a lemonade or down a cold one, or, you know, whatever it is, especially when we think about the last couple of weeks we've had. I mean, we just get out of Afghanistan, the chaos and the nonsense there, and the 13 service folks that we lost, the two women and the men, and their brave way that they were serving the United States and trying to help people and trying to get people out at the airport, and how exposed they were. And then overall, the 2,443 service members who died in Afghanistan, and now still the conversations about getting more people out. And then Ida, the stories of the mother and the son trapped in the basement in Cranford, New Jersey, when the flood water broke through the basement. And the damage, surveying the damage to New York City and New Jersey, oh, just incredible. I mean, just reeling. The 60 people killed by the storm, drowned in cars, swept away by floodwaters. People listening to me in Louisiana, just barely getting power back, not being able to find food, trying to get fuel. People in nursing homes who died after being evacuated to warehouse in Louisiana. Multiple stories of that. The 31-year-old New Jersey resident that was killed when he was swept into a 36-inch storm sewer. I mean, you know, not to depress you, but again, this is life. So that's what I'm saying. And this sounds corny. It sounds corny, but as somebody who speaks for a living both in the content area of saying this is what's going on in the world, let's have the conversation, and before the pandemic, being on big stages and talking about finding that space in the gap, finding the gap to be in the present. If you If you play an instrument, I hope you're playing the instrument. If you like to read, I hope you're reading. If you want to write, like the writers we have on, I hope you write that book. I mean, it's about the now. Now, now, now. And that's the thing, that's the common denominator with, I think, 9/11. It made people think about their everyday life and friendships and relationships. And I think Hurricane Ida is doing the same thing. The family of three killed when water rushed into their Elizabeth, New Jersey apartment. It just, gosh, really, really rough. And this is right before a holiday. People are watching, seeing what's happening in Louisiana and just heartbroken, and watching Mississippi and Alabama and Tennessee, and then seeing that swoosh right up into the Northeast. Wow. I mean, seriously. Wow, wow, wow. All right. Like I said, Labor Day. So how do you find the joy in the long weekend? Do some of those things that I said, or whatever it is that makes you happy. Good food, right? You know, just a hot dog on a grill. To me, when I was a kid, we had this little tiny, it had, you know the round grills, I still have them, and you'd throw the charcoal bricks in it, and you, I remember, like, my mom, I loved it. We had these things called Texas Tommies, and she would cook the hot dogs, then you split the hot dog open, and what is a Texas Tommy? And it had stuffing in the middle of it, and then it had relish and mustard, and it just, and you put it in the oven. Is incredible. And I don't know that, I'm sure other people call it something else, or maybe they don't even know what I'm talking about, but food is also the thing, right? The what you remember as a kid, whatever it is, and the way you feel when you see that. And so to me, Labor Day signified, okay, I'm going to school, you know, after Monday, but we're having a great weekend before then, and we're going to grill out, and we're going to go, like, watch fireworks, or, you know, that kind of thing. And it might not be fireworks that's happening, but certainly there are things that you can do that don't even cost a dime, right? Just go get a package of hot dogs, and that's going to cost you a little bit, but throw it on the grill, or whatever it takes to just chillax. You can bet that it's the party to be at, I would assume, but Beyonce turns 40. So she turns 40 over the holiday weekend, and that was I think on Saturday. It was Saturday, and I can't imagine, you know, we had her father on the show because he wrote a book, and it was so interesting to talk to Mr. Knowles, right, about her childhood, about young girls singing, about, you know, they had boy bands, but they didn't have girls, and she was part of Destiny's Child. And you want to make yourself feel old, just think about Beyonce is 40 years old. Wow. So I bet they had some heck of a party, I'm just thinking, right? And her music, you know, besides the dancing and everything else, her music certainly is out there, part of The Lion King, and so many of her songs on the big screen and elsewhere. But it's 40 is certainly a marker point in someone's life, I would think, right? She's got three kids, Blue, Ivy, Rummy, and Sir Carter. On that note, I'll meet you on the other side.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival. and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. Is with us, and his book is The Book of Asriel. And James, thanks so much for coming on. And you and I talked off the air, and it was interesting where our conversation went and some of the great takeaways from your book. But first of all, what led you to writing this?
30 years of wanting to be a game designer, and I got really depressed during the lockdown. So I put all my anger and sadness into a book.
So did that lift you up by actually doing it and having it, you know, progressing
yes,
it and having it?
It was a therapy thing. My therapist said you should start writing, and I was like, okay. So during that, I started writing, and it turned in from just a project of getting out emotions and kind of healing from things in my life to a full-blown book series.
Wow. I would say that was pretty successful, that session that you had.
Yeah, I would say so, too. It was it's helped a lot. It's been very therapeutic.
Yeah, there you go. So when you actually put pen to paper, so to speak, and decided that you were going to sit down and you wrote this, how'd you do it? Did you, like, create an outline? Did you think of all these characters? Did you think about how am I going to make this work and have good versus evil? How'd you come up with that?
That's the weirdest part. It kind of just started out as I had an idea of a guy standing in a somewhat forest next to a marble-ish type monastery that he fixed up. He's splitting wood, and I didn't know what to do from there. I was just like, okay, now what? So I just started adding in the scenery and what was going on, and then for some reason, every time I needed something that needed to be, I guess, story involved, action or part of the story or some kind of event, it just came to me for a while. So the first 16 chapters, I wrote it from the seat of my pants. Then my sister taught me how to outline, and the chapters got longer and got better and got more involved. And then the book went from being a seven series of books to like 14 to 20 now, because the story's so big and I got so many different characters, it kind of just grew on its own.
Nice. So as I said, you know, you've got this real battle going on from heaven to hell and everything in between, and Lucifer's opening hell gates and letting the seven deadly sins, I'm just like envisioning that, out of hell and upon the earth. This is so scary.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I derive a lot of that from my childhood. One of my parents, I'm not going to say which one, is very religious, and they scared scared me really bad, and I think this is my way of dealing with it.
Yeah, there you go. So in the story, tell us about the actual story. What can someone expect if they pick up your book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble? What will they get out of it when they crack it open? Give us a little synopsis of the story.
So like you said, Lucifer is opening hell gates. He's using the seven deadly sins, and God wants to combat this. It's not time for this. This is something that's not in his, in my book, it's not in his doing yet. He's like, okay, you want to do this, Lucifer, but I'm going to have a backup. So he sends Gabriel to talk to Abaddon, and Abaddon is sent to get Azrael to start helping him to shut up the hell gates and to find God weapons and certain other things that are there that are going to be used later in the book, different types of artifacts, like the Holy Grail's in it. The first book's a lot about, I guess, the Christian religion. It's not really about it. It's just there's a lot to it in it from the Bible. And then the next book is going to be a different series of Greek and mythology, and then Norse, and then I'm going to go to Egypt. So I'm trying to do a lot of different things, but I started with what I sort of kind of knew. So I'm hoping they'll get that you treat people good and you should be nice to everybody. So you don't know what their day's like. You don't know if they got mental problems. You don't know what's going on. So that little bit of kindness can go a long way to make that person maybe not hurt themselves and go on to do something better.
Oh, I like that. A little bit of kindness, hashtag from James Buffin.
Yeah.
That's great. And as you said, now you have all of a sudden you went from this idea of, okay, let's get the anger out. You were frustrated and you wanted to be a game designer and all of that. And now you've got this this book, and you have others that are following up. Where are you in that process with the other books?
I'm halfway through the second book, writing it, chapter 10. And I'm now going back and editing those 10 chapters, and then I'll write the next 10 chapters to finish it, edit that, type it, and then send it into my publisher.
Nice. And what does that feel like when you, as you're doing this, and you're getting that done and getting that accomplished, and you know, wow, this next one is pretty soon it's going to be out?
Yeah, I take it as this is my video game that I always wanted to make. It didn't work out. And it's still my baby, and I love the story, and I'm hoping to hopefully get it onto a TV show, hopefully make a movie out of it, maybe make a video game out of it one day. I don't know, but I know that none of it worked before, so if you have an idea and you want to do something, and it's just not working, because I did this for like 30 years trying to make video games, just twist it a little bit, change it. I changed it to a book. It worked out well.
I like that. So, again, think of it as like a jungle gym. You're just not a ladder straight up. There's another way to do this, and you figured out the formula and the way to do it. I agree with you. There's always another way to do it. And I got to say this, because for people listening, you know, this is radio, but your book cover is so cool. You have a halo, and you have two angel wings, and then
yeah,
it says the book of Ezra. Yeah.
Then what I wanted, me and my sister drew out the, or not me, more my sister drew out the cover, and it was supposed to be a red wing with that same color green wing, all outlined, and the feathers are in gold, and the background is supposed to be black. But they decided that, we talked about it to the publisher, that this would be a little more eye-catching. It wouldn't be as dark.
Oh, so, I gotcha, yeah. And it is, I think it's uplifting.
I like it. It kind of does give the book a false pretense. You look at it going, oh, this is going to be really nice and sweet, and this will be really good. It does have that. Don't get me wrong. There's great messages, and there's a lot of great bonding and family. Like, my mom's in it because I never got to see her, so I put her in the book, me and my sister in the book in the background. I've got a couple characters that are buddies of mine that I've kind of thrown their quirks and stuff into the character to make the character, because I like the way they are and who they are. So I use a lot of things around me, mostly family, or really good friends that are like family.
Well, we know that you're obviously close to your sister. What did she think as she was helping you and then this all came together?
At first, I could say, and I will say even me, we were both kind of like, you're going to write a book, huh? It's like, yeah, I'm actually kind of like illiterate. I was a special ed my whole life. I don't really do well with writing and spelling and grammar. Well, now that we have 30 years later, we have Google and all this other stuff, I can use things to my advantage. So if you think you can't do it, you can. There's ways around it. Just, you got to find another path. So that was my biggest stepping stone was, how am I going to do this when I don't really read, I don't write, and I'm really bad at it? I learned and taught myself pretty much what to do and used Google to find words and different words of the same word that use, like, poppers instead of using, like, a derelict. It's the same thing. It's just you don't hear it as much.
Yeah, and I like how you say, listen, I wasn't good at that, but now we're in a different era and you found a way around it. So it goes back to that whole idea of just because you thought you were going down one path, there's another way to turn that around and make that something else. And so with the book, yes. With this book, the Book of Asriel, who is your favorite character? Because usually when somebody writes something, they fall in love with one of their characters that just seem to write themselves.
And that's the coolest part about this book. I've gone through every emotion you can imagine. I've cried, I've laughed, I've gotten mad. And the one thing I thought I was going to hate to write was the chapter of the Sisters of the Underworld, Seven Sisters of the Underworld. I thought I was going to hate it. I didn't think I was going to like it. I didn't know what to write. And that's my favorite chapter. And my favorite character in that chapter is Lilith. I didn't think she would be. And she's got a long way to go. I got a lot for her in her own book and some other books and this book. But she kind of reminds me of me as a kid. Kind of in the book, Lucifer kind of scolds her because she did something bad. And so now you got to pay me back. And you're also going to get punished for it because I'm Lucifer. That's what I do. And you get this sense of she's weak, but you see her grow and she's not weak. She's really powerful. And she's learning that. Doesn't matter what people tell you. It doesn't matter how people treat you. If you know it and you can see it, it's there. You got it. Just use it.
Yeah, perfect place to end this. If you got it, just use it. I can see why you really like that character. So James Buffin, The Book of Asriel, you can get it, like I mentioned before, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any place where great books are sold. You can get it Kindle, paperback, either way. And good luck with that continued writing, and thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
And thanks to everyone for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD Family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken will testify in front of Congress next week about the U.S.'s withdrawal from Afghanistan. Blinken is set to appear before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on September 14th, the first of what is expected to be a number of administration officials to appear before Congress to answer questions about the withdrawal and evacuation of American citizens and Afghan allies from the country. Committee Chairman Senator Robert Menendez has said in a statement that there were policy execution and intelligence failures associated with the withdrawal and its aftermath. And four American citizens were evacuated from Afghanistan on Monday over a land route to a third country. The State Department says the evacuation was facilitated by the U.S. and was the first since the final withdrawal of U.S. forces from the country. ABC News reporting that the group left with Taliban knowledge, but without their interference. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain said Sunday that around 100 Americans were still in Afghanistan. This is USA Radio News. The volume of illegal drugs being smuggled over the U.S.'s southern border has increased, along with the number of migrants also crossing over. The Border Patrol says fentanyl seizures have risen 800% over the last year in Texas alone. Lieutenant Christopher Olivares of the Texas Department of Public Safety tells Fox News about the efforts that Texas has been undertaking to try and slow the flow of drugs and people over the border.
So we've always had these issues on the southern border, but not to the extent that we're seeing now with these historic numbers. And that's why Governor Abbott launched Operation Lone Star, because of the current administration's failures to secure the border. So right now, our focus is to crack down on criminal activity, illegal immigration, try to put a stop to these high-speed, dangerous pursuits, because these human smugglers are very bold. And right now, we're seeing them do things that they've never done before, as far as the extent that the driving, the reckless driving, they put these immigrants in danger by the way they drive. Not only that, but the motoring public as well. And we continue to see that to increase because of this current surge that's taking place right now.
This is USA Radio News.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dorey, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsideben.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Ben team. Go to brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com.
Go to Abu Dhabi. I'm excited to introduce you to Dr. Michael Sebastian. He's in our virtual green room, and he is a general surgeon. He works for a nonprofit that some of you might recognize, and he's written a book that I think is a game changer. I don't say that lightly, because I think so many of us are searching, and it's like we try so hard to live this perfect life, but we're missing something. What is the something we're missing? And he has absolutely tripped onto it. It's called Heaven on Earth, A Prescription for Peace. We just had a great off-air conversation. So, Dr. Sebastian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
What was it? You and I talked about this off the air. You had tremendous loss. And what was it about the loss of two incredible people that led you to start thinking about life? And what is sort of that meaning of life that we're all searching for?
Yeah. The two people are my eldest brother, Joseph, passed away when he was 19 years of age, and my father, Devasya, who passed away when he was 59 years of age. Both were tremendously nice people with great integrity. And on top of that, both of them were highly intelligent. So when my eldest brother, Joseph, who was a third-year engineering student, suddenly had an internal hemorrhage, gastrointestinal bleeding, and before the doctors could come to a proper diagnosis, he unfortunately passed away. And in his funeral, the dean of the engineering college made a speech in which he said, "Never in my life have I come across a better student than Joseph. Why did this happen to him?" And he started crying. My father was there, and He just went to him and told him a simple sentence: God gave, God took. So this was the reply he was given to everyone who came to console him. And my father passed away 10 years later in 1976 when he was almost 60 years. He was also an incredibly intelligent student in school. At 10th standard, he was the topper. But my grandfather never allowed him to study further. In fact, a delegation of priests and managers from the school went and met my grandfather to plead with him to allow Joseph to study further. But grandfather said no, and he sent my father, Devasya, to manage an estate which was about 100 kilometers away. My father could have easily disobeyed him and done his studies because his uncles were willing to support him. But then he said, no, I will not disobey my father. And so he left a good life. He left a perfect life. In fact, these two people I see are some of the most perfect human beings who have walked on the surface of this earth. That's how I consider them. And then they died. And what got me thinking is that, why is it that such perfect human beings, why did they pass away without making their marks present or presence, you know, felt in this earth? So that got me thinking, and that was really sent me into a quest to discovery. And the book is what I realized. The book is what I thought life was all about.
So tell us about the book. What is life all about? What did you discover?
Yeah. I'm a Christian, and I communicate with God using Christian teachings. The same I would have done if I was born a Hindu or a Muslim or a Jew. In fact, all of us, my strong belief is that we pray to the same almighty power which controls the universe, consisting of billions of galaxies and probably trillions of civilizations like us. So to Almighty God, we are all, you know, equal in front of Him. And what He expects from us, I came to understand was that we should live a good life. Actually, living a good life is what is emphasized in all the religions. So I started doing a small experiment in which what I did was, I did three things. Love the Almighty more than the world. Live a life without sin where I don't even think about a sin, let alone commit one. And never lose an opportunity to do a good deed, and do it for the sheer joy of doing it, not expecting anything in return. So when I started doing this, life was different. It was as if I was walking hand in hand with some power, which was also showing me the way. And on top of that, I also found that you had greater wisdom. You see, then I understood the fact that wisdom is a gift from God. You see, when you try to live a perfect life, wisdom comes naturally to you. And so, this was like cycle. So, whenever I had time to be good and perfect, I led that life. But, you know, the life as a surgeon is tremendously busy and, you know, a lot of trauma, surgeries, etc., etc. So, most of the time, you live the normal life. But gradually, it went on in cycles. But around the time when I wrote the book, I understood that when we lead a perfect life, we have a lot of inner peace and joy, and we think that we come to realize that there is heaven in this world itself. And then I understood, we have to realize the existence of heaven in this world in order to achieve it in the next. Then what happened? Then I also understood my life is so short. Right now I am 60 years of age. For me, the past 60 years has just flown by as if in a minute. It was just a minute. And I know before with one more blink of my eyes, I'll be gone. So what? So then I also understood that our soul is immortal. It's going to live forever, maybe millions of years. It may be in parallel worlds. It may be in a parallel universe or in other planets, in other galaxies, I'm not sure. Then I also understood that if I live an unhappy life where I live the normal life, where you are burdened with all the unhappiness which comes to you when you are not a perfect person, then probably when I pass away from this world, I will pass on to an unhappy state of mind in another parallel world, in which world maybe it is a real struggle to really survive. So this is the difference, I thought. And then also I learned a lesson that you cannot fool the Almighty God who sees everything. An example, as I told you before, is that, you know, if someone comes to me in need and he handed, let's say, $100, I had the money with me, but then I gave him only $20. And in the next 7 to 10 days' time, I find that I probably lost $800 to $1,000, maybe due to an unexpected car repair or a plumbing job or maybe an emergency back in India. So it happened 3-4 times, and then I understood there's no point in playing the fool with Almighty God. So from that point onwards, whatever I could do, I do it straight. It was like an investment. So when I did that, I found that somehow more money, money came in. I also realized one thing, that money and material wealth are just mechanical tools for a living, and that living is not for the sake of making money. I'll explain this again. If you live a perfect life, your wisdom also comes in as an added bonus, as I told you before. You have tremendous wisdom also, which leads you to be innovative. For example, if you are in a company and if you think, if I have to get a promotion, I have to be deceitful, I have to be dishonest, etc., etc. On the other hand, you try living a perfect life, you will be the most innovative person in that company. You will have a lot of productivity, because along with pure thinking comes a lot of ideas. So the general feeling that if you are not, a person of this world, you might not get promotions, etc., is not correct. On the other hand, you will do much better if you live a good life.
Incredibly powerful what you're telling us. I mean, absolutely incredible, powerfully said. And I think that's the big takeaway here, is listen to what Dr. Sebastian is telling you. And his book is filled with this wisdom, Heaven on Earth, A Prescription for Peace. Dr. Michael Sebastian, what a pleasure to have you on this show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And can I say a little more about our concept of charity? You see,
absolutely. We have one more minute. Give it to us.
Yeah. You see, Mother Teresa, I thought, could have done, she is a saint, and she could have done so much more for the world if she had, my basic reasoning is that the corrupt leaders of this world are responsible for all the misery we are facing. The corrupt leaders of the world. The poor people, if they are already living in heaven, it's fine, because they already found the pathway to eternal peace. But if people like Mother Teresa could have, nurtured or made the corrupt mindset of these leaders pure, then they would have done everything for the people who are suffering, right? It is like closing the tap, because people who are doing a lot of charitable work are just mopping the floor. But they should actually try to close the tap, which is cure the origin of the whole problem, which is the corrupt mindset of the leaders and the corrupt mindset of the government officials, etc.
So well said. The tap. There's a lot of what I call hashtags in what you said. There's a lot of wisdom in all of this. It was such a delight to have you on the show. Thank you for, like I said before, for joining us. And remember, you can get this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Right now, Kevin Moore, and his book is called Conversations with Satan. I just want you to close your eyes for a second and just visualize what you think that this book is about. And then I'm probably going to tell you, you don't know what the book's about. We had a wonderful off-air conversation. And Kevin, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's talk about your background a little bit. What led you to writing the book? What led you in the direction of thinking, okay, I'm a writer, I can write this?
Well, I never really actually thought of myself as a writer beyond being a technical writer, and that's where my background is. And I decided to take a course in kind of fiction writing, and I seemed to have fell into it. I did better than my instructor thought that somebody with a technical writing background would be able to do. And it was just something I kind of took up on a more of a whim of something that kind of helped me with my creativity side.
Yeah. What I like about your story is, you know, you talk about that this was a dream. This is a thing that you had. You were thinking about this, and it started off as a dream as a teenager, this book. Then it goes to a short story. Then it becomes a book. So this was a long time coming, right?
Oh, yeah. Several decades to be able to get from that original dream that I had. And somehow that dream stuck with me all those years. And when I had the opportunity to write a short story about it in the course, I incorporated that whole dream into my short story, and then from there I said, let's flip it around and let's write it into a book.
Wow. All right, so tell us about the book. What's the novel about? It's got scary parts in it.
Yes, and it's about a young man who kind of grows up in a pretty bad household. He doesn't have a real good relationship with his mother, really kind of any female. And he has a psychopathic personality, and through his growing up, it kind of gets more and more along the lines of wanting to be able to kind of hurt and harm women. So he eventually starts hearing some voices in his head, and those voices seem to kind of help him down that path of trying to hurt people. Eventually he goes on and, you know, commits some very serious crimes. He is tracked down by a policewoman, which I felt was very important for this story, that kind of with his relationship with females anyway, that it would be a female that would actually catch him in the end. So.
Wow. And you liked strong female characters, I have a feeling.
I very much do. I think it's, like I said, it's very important for to be able to show females as being very strong, especially in today's world. We've had, you know, a lot of very good literature in the past that have, you know, shown a lot of, you know, very good male characters and strong male characters. But I just think we're in an age where we need to be able to show very strong female characters as well.
Yeah, boy, I so agree with that. So, you know, you've written a bunch of different books, a lot of short stories, and this one was your first dive into full length, and I know that there are others in the offing, too. What's that been like for you now that you got, you know, once you do the first one, what's it like as you move on?
Well, I know, like I said, kind of my first thoughts after this was, you know, well, let me write a sequel, and I'm currently kind of working on that sequel to this, which is taking place in New Orleans. The same lead character, Alyssa, is moved on from Montana, and kind of after that story ended, she needed to kind of move away, and so she's gone to New Orleans. And so now she will find herself kind of drawn into that same kind of world of voodoo and mysticism. So I wanted to be able to kind of continue that character as well, but then at the same time, I'm also writing one that takes place in eastern Tennessee, just outside the Smoky Mountain National Park. And the main character in that is actually the police chief from the town, who is also a female, her, and she has a friend that arrives. And like I said, a whole series of events start kind of happening there. I obviously have this theme also kind of along religion and mysticism, and along with also having females as being strong characters as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. In the whole voodoo world and thinking of that and the mysticism connected with it, did you have to do a bunch of research on that?
I have, for all of my books, I actually do a lot of research to try to, because I want to be as accurate as I can. And so even surprisingly, like I said, along the idea, like I said, having to like research voodoo, all of my stories are very accurate in their locations. You will see locations that show up in the stories that exist. There are roads in the towns. There are businesses in the area. The one in East Tennessee, that town actually exists. And the church that I use as a background there is actually a church that is in that area. So I try to be very accurate with my background information.
Yeah, you know, it'd be interesting is if people start to go to some of those places, because
you do have places that are accessible, you know, like places that you go through with now so many people on the road traveling, looking for things to see, and that would always be fun. So in doing that research, that has to be, I think that actually would be fun in learning more because it's also an education, I think. And that's the deal. It's a novel, it's a story, but there's educational nuggets in it. Am I right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and in fact, my first book, I had somebody that had read it, and they were like, "I've been there. I know those places. I've been to this place." You know, so they had been there and had experienced it themselves.
So, what do you hope people take away from reading the book "Conversations with Satan," which, by the way, you can get on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, or anywhere where books are sold.
And two things, and like I said, the one big piece is the idea that, strong women are very good, right? It's a good to have a strong woman. It's not something, a woman, it's not something to be afraid of. I think that, strong women can help us very much in our lives, in our society, getting us, where we should be going. That's one of the reasons I kind of attracted in my stories to kind of having strong female characters. The other piece for me that kind of goes along is my religious background growing up, kind of where I am now, is the idea that we are not the end all be all. There is beings out there, I don't necessarily, everybody may have their different takes on religion,
right?
But that we are not the strongest beings. We are not the most powerful, but there is a force beyond us that, kind of helps form our lives and control our lives and leads us along.
Yeah, there's another book, The Force Beyond Us.
Yeah.
I like it, definitely. And I know that you have a website, too. What's your website where people can see some of your short stories?
It is actually www.morestories, so morestories.com.
That's easy. So you didn't make up this name, right? People ask me all the time, is Kate Delaney a made-up name? Is that an on-air name? No, it is my name. Kevin Moore is your name because Moore Stories is perfect.
Yes, that is. I was born and raised with that name.
I love it. And who knew, right? Moore Stories. Well, we can't wait to hear more stories from you. Conversations, with Satan again. So powerful. I love the cover. Ooh, graveyard. Just the whole background. Interesting, interesting stuff. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this version of the show.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.